Richard Butler presents lifestyle, real estate, and investment opportunities in the booming South Pacific. Opportunities south of the equator. Learn about the unique and voted happiest country in the world, the tax-friendly nation of Vanuatu.
This is the Real Estate Opportunity and Lifestyles of the South Pacific podcast, a podcast about personal opportunity and financial prosperity. I'm Lance Hunt from Melanesian Waterfront Real Estate Limited and living in the South Pacific Paradise Island nation of Vanuatu. With me as usual is Richard Butler in Australia. Today, Richard's talking to us about timber. Of course, in his role as Trade Commissioner to Australia for the Republic of Vanuatu and a successful real estate developer with close to 40 years experience, as you'd expect, Richard knows a lot about timber. So hello, Richard.
Yes, good morning. Great to hear your voice again, and I can hear the surf in the background still, hitting on the beach at the front of your office on lovely Tuma Bay in Port Vila. So we're quite envious today. I'm here in Sydney. It's a beautiful day in Sydney, but we're quite envious, of course, of the tropical climate that you live in over there, Lance.
Well, it is a beautiful tropical climate. You're certainly right about that. As I mentioned in the introduction, Richard, today we want to talk about timber, specifically hardwood. What do you want to tell us about hardwood as far as the background and the demand goes for hardwood?
Well, yes, thanks, Lance. And I just want to clarify one thing, that I live in Sydney and go back and forwards to Vanuatu because our market is basically what we call offshore for all our tourism projects. So I travel through Australia and Asia and the South Pacific actually seeing investors. And I work out of Sydney because it's the closest. Brisbane is just slightly closest. It's like 2 hours flight to Port Vila and Vanuatu from Sydney. It's just a little bit over 3 hours. But I wanted to talk this morning about our timber. As you know, if you've been listening to our podcast, I was appointed a trade commissioner, and my brief was to promote large tourism ventures, infrastructure projects such as roads, wharfs and airports, the development of agricultural organic farming, the development of timber harvesting, and also the development of marine ventures. With timber, if you're a carpenter, you know a lot about timber. If you're working in a hardware store, you probably know a lot about timber. If you're the average person living in a house, you can see timber everywhere in your house, more than likely. And behind those walls, there's timber stubs and there's timber trusses. Mind you, there's a lot of aluminium around now because timber is actually becoming quite a shortage. Everybody can tell you if they live in any Western city, Auckland, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, California, London, Birmingham, wherever you live, Europe, South Africa, wherever you live, there's been an absolutely expansion of housing and an absolutely expansion of requirements for timber. The history of timber and the history of timber flooring, which is what I'm going to talk about today, it's always been a popular choice throughout history, although in a much cruder format compared to the uniform and beautifully finished timber we see in houses today. In the old days, I used to saw the wood. You've probably seen those pictures where there's this great big piece of wood and there's guys in a pit below and there's a guy above with a great big hand saw and they're cutting the timber, and the planks were very, very large. Only the wealthy could actually afford to put timber flooring down. Then, of course, as time went by, designs became more elaborate. And then, of course, we had the beautiful parquet came back in the 16th century in France. So polished flooring used today didn't become widely used until the late 19th century. And technology has improved the machines and make it possible to produce uniform planks of wood. If you've gone to any hardware store, if you had a builder come in to work on your property and you're putting in timber floor, you see these beautiful packs turn up on the back of a truck, and the crane on the back of the truck drops it out the front of your house and they bring the timber in and lay it down. And it's just absolutely very, very beautiful and a great joy to everybody. Architects, of course, love working with timber. They absolutely love it. We've got some pictures I'm going to be sending to Lance to attach to this podcast when we send it out, that has some examples of the timber that I'm going to be talking about. Basically, as the synthetic materials increase, the popularity of timber floors decreased. Then, of course, there was a resurgence for timber flooring in the 1990s. And this is where people started pulling up old carpet and lino to reveal the beautiful old boards underneath. And it was a little bit like winning the raffle. You never really knew for sure until you pulled the carpet up or the lino up exactly how good the flooring was underneath. And 9 times out of 10, if you had good flooring, you could polish it up and it would be quite nice. But obviously, that cost of that timber has now become so expensive. And we're talking about hardwood. We're talking about hardwood boards. And, of course, the engineering timber that we have now is so much easier to actually mill and tongue and groove it so it all just fits in and you finish up with a fabulous product. So that's the history about the timber. The other thing that we have everywhere you go in Australia, not so much in the rest of the world, I have noticed in Australia and New Zealand, we love our verandas, like living on the outdoor in the tropics as well. We love having the outdoor areas, and you also find that timber and tin is on the veranda. And the problem you've got is the price of timber has become so expensive that the cost of putting a timber deck on the back of your house, especially in places like the tropics where there was a lot of timber houses built, has become so expensive that it's actually priced itself out of the normal person's budget to put into their house. So you go into a house now, you see a large suburban development happening. Well, it's all tiles, it's all concrete floors. But if you've got a bit of money, people would love to put down a real timber floor into their house. It's such a statement. It's also dramatically used in architectural design. The architects actually love it. And of course, the thing about a hardwood too is that it's extremely dense and durable, and naturally termite, in some cases, bushfire resistance. Well, the timber I'm going to talk about today is termite resistant, but it also has the same fire rating as concrete. It's absolutely unbelievable. One of the things that Lance could probably come in here and now attest as well, that in Vanuatu, you really don't see a lot of timber sitting around. Won't see the timber yards, but you don't see it sort of in backyards or whatever, because they use every bit of timber they can in Vanuatu. They either use it for building their houses, or because of electricity prices, and Vanuatu being a third world nation, many, many families, they actually cook their dinner on a wood stove. So they actually collect all the timber that's comes from bush blocks. It's put into bags and brought into the markets, and don't know exactly how much it is, but 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Port Vila, if you're high on a hill, you can start to see the little puffs of smoke coming out of the backyards where people have been cooking their dinner. And so the thing about this timber that we're talking about, or we're going to be talking about, is that it's actually been available to us in Vanuatu because of the most incredible set of circumstances that you'll ever believe. And even Lance and I, we shake our head from time to time to believe that we have such an amazing resource that we can actually work with. Lance, that's basically a bit of the history of the timber and why it's such a great resource. And of course, people would know if they've gone to get a pricing for a full timber floor, how expensive it is. It's a luxury item.
Yes, but of course, it's not only used for floors, it's used in boats and all sorts of other applications as well in the building of a home. You mentioned the amazing story, and I love hearing this story. I know it well, but I really, really enjoy hearing it over again. And it's like a mystery novel. Something got lost and then it got found, and there's fires and there's technology and there's all sorts of things in this story. How about telling the listeners?
Well, we could actually do a movie about Vanuatu. We would be able to bring out chapter upon chapter. Well, you could probably do it about any country, I suppose, but evolution is what it's all about too. What happened, as you might or might not know, Vanuatu was administrated by the French and the English from 1910 to 1980. And then Vanuatu got independence in 1980. Sometime in the 70s, late 70s, the administrators, either in England or Australia or New Zealand or the whole three, decided that it would be a great idea to be able to get the custom owners, the native Nevan people in their villages, to actually clear some land and to grow hardwood timber, because basically there's such a demand for it. They knew it was coming and hopefully they'll be able to export it. So one of the ministers, who in actual fact became the prime minister, was involved in the timber business with our senior partner. They were talking one day and he said, there's all these timber plantations that were planted in and around Vanuatu, in and around villages and all the different islands. I think he said it was over 44 of them. But no one knows where they are. They're overgrown because in 1980, when Vanuatu got independence, and this is before computers, before mobile phones, before faxes, everything was done by hand. There would have been photocopiers, of course, and plan copying and stuff like that. But all these plans were handed for all these forests of the timber, which is called Cordia. The Americans know it as Boco, B-O-C-O-T-E. We know it as Cordia, which is a hardwood. It was actually imported into Vanuatu. It's a South American plant originally. It's a reasonably fast-growing plant as well, fast-growing tree. So these plantations were actually set up in these 40-odd villages. Plans were given back to the Vanuatu government, the new Vanuatu government, and they were housed in a wooden house, which was on the island of Santo. And some 12 months, 18 months, 2 years later, the house caught on fire. Don't know what caused the fire, but it caught on fire. And all the records were lost. Basically, when records are lost, villagers didn't have anybody coming out and saying, are you clearing the forest? Are you looking after it? And so these forests just became totally overgrown. I mean, I've seen a block of land that was cleared in January in Vanuatu. I've seen it overgrown by June, July. It's such a tropical climate that things can grow so quickly. It's just amazingly fertile property. So these trees grew. They were completely forgotten about. The major part, he decided that he would start looking for them, try and find them. Mr. Kilman, Plato Kilman, became prime minister, so he had to step down from the business. Our senior partner, Ron Crawford, decided to put a sustainable timber partnership, a limited partnership together, to raise the capital to find these lost forests. And we're talking about 2 million trees here. We're talking about a lot of trees. How did he find it? Well, the most amazing thing is that he used Google. Of course, you wouldn't have been able to find it before Google Maps arrived. So he could actually go to the villages on different islands and he could actually point out where the triangle of forest or an oblong shape, and he was able to point out the different foliage colours, and he could point out where these plantations are and then approach the owners and get arrangements for felling the trees and harvesting the trees. The Boco has been found. It's also been planted in sustainable forests. So it's not being cut out of the rainforest. These were plantations, so it's plantation timber. So we have no problem exporting it to anywhere in the world. We've moved on from that point to now we've done a couple of years of R&R. You're checking out the plantations to find out what could be possibly the best and highest use. Because they had been left neglected, the conversion ratio of the number of trees to a good tree is quite low. By going in and cutting the timber down, the trees that we can't use for export are then stacked and they can be used by the local village for any local timber that they might require for building. And then we have the export timber. Now, we'll also export this timber as flooring. We're going to have it cut up into flooring and export it in flooring to the different places in the world. Now, it's quite surprising how much timber is actually imported into different countries. This Cordia timber, also one of the great things about it is that it's very, very light. So the builders love working with it. It can be used for more things, as Lance says, than the timber flooring. You could use it for furniture. Ron himself has actually just finished renovating a house. He's made furniture in the house. He's used it for the kitchen. He's used it for trims. He's put down the flooring. He's used it for steps. He's done the most beautiful spiral staircase using timber as well. And it really sets off the whole house. But here in Australia, for example, there are real demands for the hardwoods such as spotted gum and ironbark. And they're popular to use in decks and floors and cladding. But this is stagnated because there's a surging demand, but there's just simply not enough timber, and the price, the cost factor of the timber is quite high as well. So we have a market. The thing about our timber that we have also being termite resistant and also a higher fire rating, and also it has what's called a high Jenka rating. And the Jenka rating is actually the hardness of the timber, the dense of the timber. And that means that for the ladies with their high heels, it won't mark the timber. See, Australia imports 5.5 $1.5 billion worth of soft and hardwood products a year. Even though we grow timber, and one of the things that they're concerned about, that they reckon, the estimates that over 40 million worth of that timber is illegally logged timber. We're talking about legal timber, limber, sustainable timber, and of course the timber itself is so much warmth and character, you can really show off if you put it on, or you'd be very, very proud of it. So anyway, Lance, that's gives you a bit of an idea about the reasoning behind this resource being such a great resource for being exported to places such as even New Zealand, because they haven't seen this timber. The pattern is quite brilliant. Australia, Asia, China, of course, and even further afield. Japan, you just put it in a container and you put it in the ship and away she goes. So there's a great opportunity there for investors to now come into the Sustainable Timber Partnership, which is a limited partnership that the senior partner, Ron Crawford, has put together. And Ron's been in Vanuatu for 15 years. Now, after 10 years, you can apply to have a passport and citizenship. So he's now a Nivan Ron. He's a citizen of Vanuatu. He's 70 years of age, but he has a background of decades working in the timber industry in Queensland. So there's not much he doesn't know about timber.
As you're talking about that, Richard, I'm re-enjoying my doors, because when you live in a house, after a while, you forget about the doors, you just walk past them. But indeed, the doors in Pacific Haven Resort here in this bungalow are all cordia. Looking at the beautiful figuring, the pattern in the timber, that's why it's very much favoured in America by wood turners, because they make beautiful bowls and all sorts of things that you can turn with a lathe out of this timber. I think last time I looked, it was something like $7,000 a cubic metre. It was a lot of money for a little piece of wood. Yes, you're right. It's a timber that resists a lot of things. It doesn't seem to have any problems with insects or rot. You can hose it. It's just a lovely, lovely piece of wood. The future of hardwood, I guess you've covered that a little bit, Richard, but did you want to expand a little further on the future looking down the track with this particular timber?
Well, yeah, the demand is going to just grow as further housing goes. And, of course, even as houses get smaller, people are more interested in making them more decorative and making them stand out. And the architects love working with timber. And, of course, as the housing business will always expand, there'll be levels and troughs and plateaus, but it will always keep going up. The demand will always be there for natural timber, especially working with concrete and block. Where we're sitting in a very, very great location is being able to offer to the listeners of this podcast the opportunity of investing into Vanuatu via a sustainable timber partnership, which is a limited partnership. We've limited the partners to 20. The cost factor is $55,000 a share, and the concept is to harvest, buy, sell and grow and acquire interest in timber in environmental responsible and sustainable manner for the financial reward of the purchasers. We'll be harvesting timber from the existing plantations. The senior partner will be operating all that. The returns can be very, very financial rewarding, because we estimate the opportunity of the return over 10 years averaging around about 17%. One of the things about Vanuatu, which I really have to let the listeners know, is that the percentage returns are always reflective on what you've invested at the very beginning. To actually get into a project such as the one we have now, if it was in New Zealand or Australia, you wouldn't be getting in for $55,000. Your cost factor to come in as a partner would be substantially higher. But because your buy-in price or your investment price or your partnership shareholding is only $55,000, then the return that comes back from the sale of the timber in the commercial markets of the Western world is much higher. So consequently, the 17% is reflective on the opportunity of buying in at such a low price. But whenever you're doing projections of figures, we always try and work on the possibly the lowest case. So whatever we get, we always try and say, oh, we've got 100, cut it in half, call it 50. We get 50, cut it in half, call it 25. We get 25%, cut it in half, call it 12.5%. We always try and work on the lowest percentage. But with the amount of timber that we have access to through the senior partner, the opportunity to mill this timber and export it around the world as a timber flooring with the most magnificent design, with termite-free, and also the density of the timber with the Jenka rating and the lightness of the timber making it easy to work with. You've got people who are building high-rise apartments can put this timber down to make that difference between their high-rise apartment and the high-rise apartment across the road by having a timber that's in there, decorative, hard-wearing, light to put in, easy to install, quality, upmarket quality that you would normally see, at the same time, of course, having the same fire rating as concrete. So there's a great opportunity for developers and architects to work with this particular project. We're not going to be exporting 200 containers a week. This is a boutique development which is designed as an organization, Sustainable Timber, to continue to provide a return for the investors long term. And this is one of the only opportunities that you'll have as well through this particular shareholding that you can apply for permanent residency. So if you spend $55,000 and you become a shareholder and you'll be recognized as a shareholder on the company with the financial services, then you can apply for a residency as well from this investment. There's only 16 of the shares available at the moment. We've done a lot of legwork in both Adelaide, Sydney and Brisbane, talking to builders, going out, showing them the timber, finding out where we are in the marketplace. We can go into those figures with anybody that's interested at a later time. But also it's very, very important that the listeners, if they are interested, can go to our website, www.vanuatusustainabletimber.com. And because this is a partnership arrangement, you have to log on to that website if you want more information. I mean, you can call myself and Lance, there's no problem, we can talk to you over the phone, but to get written information on this project you have to log on to the website and confirm that you are a sophisticated investor. And then once you've signed that, and once you've signed a non-disclosure statement, we will then organize to have the offer to be sent out to you as well. Vanuatu Sustainable Timber, the most unique offer in timber harvesting, something that you can own as an investor for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You can leave it to your children's children. We have enough timber there to keep going for that period of time, keep harvesting and also exporting it to the world. So we're very pleased to give you this opportunity to visit our website, www.vanuatusustainabletimber.com. You see a video there. Once you log on, you can actually see a video there of myself and Ron discussing virtually everything I've been talking about here. That'll give you an idea of the people involved in the offer as well.
Not to mention the nice background of Harbour of Port Vila in that video.
Yes, it's very good.
Something that I really like about this particular project, Richard, is, again, it's an impact investment, because the local villagers that are nearby all these different plantations, who actually are the custom owners in most cases, they're getting benefit from this because the custom owners are being paid. They're getting jobs as well when we're harvesting their area. They're employed. And of course, all the rest of the work involved in preparing the timber for export from Vanuatu is also using local labour. So there's quite a large benefit to the local people. And in fact, they don't really want these trees because they're an introduced species. They grow a little bit wild. They're very vigorous. The local people say, well, we'd rather have our rainforest back the way it was. So we're happy to have you come in and take these trees out, and we get benefit from that as well. So that's really a comfortable aspect of this whole investment.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people concerned about the rainforest and cutting down trees, but designed and sustainable plantation timber that was actually planted for a commercial outcome, we have no problems with that logging of that timber. And of course, the royalty that comes back, finally, our royalty is coming back to the Nevan families after 30, 35 years. There are other timber species that we can actually cut that's been planted as well, such as spotted gum, our version of rosewood. The major opportunity is with this Cordia plantations and for hardwood flooring. So thanks for your time this morning, Lance, and I hope people enjoy this, and we'll try and send some good pictures along with the podcast of the timber and exactly how it's been used, eh?
Yes, they'll be there in the show notes at allaboutvanuatu.com. People can look at those pictures when they go to the podcast section there. Thank you, Richard. We'll say goodbye for now. That's the Real Estate Opportunity and Lifestyles of the South Pacific podcast for this week. See you next time.